My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
You know what time it is, Chris? You know what time it is?
What time is it?
You know what time it is, Figgy?
What time is it?
It's time for Around the NFL. Shout out to Mega. Shout out to Mega. They crack me up. We walk by there. They got all that stuff. They got the bells going. They got it all.
The funniest thing, I was walking past the other day, and all I heard was, and then it got quiet again, and then, I'm like, man, I wish I knew Spanish so I could know what was so damn
funny.
I want
to laugh that hard. I think I might have broken this thing. I better put it back up. But no, it's just
John Lopez.
It's just loose. So we had Bobby Slowick. Might have to revisit that a little bit at 140 because there was some good stuff there. I think he's pretty mad about how the offense showed up. Heard from Matt Burke about the defense and Derek Stingley. Boy, he wanted to say it. He wanted to say he was the best ball corner in the league, but he said one of. How about Frank Ross? How about those kickoffs that we were all looking forward to with the Houston Texans? So Frank Ross was discussing the kickoffs. What to expect? What happened? Here's where he started off.
It was such a learning experience. Every coaching staff had a bunch of people reach out to me. What did that? It felt way different than practice, in my estimation, my opinion. Hey, how fast do we really run and hit? Hey, how fast do these blockers get on you? How fast do these cover players get on top of their blocks? So it felt tremendously different. We're able to go back and people were, the guys doing it, were able to say, oh, like, here's how that really feels. So as much as you go live in practice, pads on, we've had those training camp periods where it's full team kick return and we're padded, but you don't really finish on the ball carrier. And, you know, that was our first time of doing that. So we learned a lot. And I think individually, what do those blocks look like? It was a huge gaining, learn experience. And every team across the league is about to feel that is going to play for the first time this weekend. So there's a lot to adjust and continue to move forward on.
No, like, look, man, everybody was watching. He just talked about everybody coming. A lot of coaches calling him, asking about stuff, et cetera, et cetera. But I really do think it's going to be a very exciting play. It was just a dud to start with because nobody knew.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what to expect.
And the one thing to take away from the Hall of Fame, when I was there, Devin Hester actually spoke about this.
Mm-hmm.
He called it the Devin Hester rule, where they actually moved the ball up,
yeah,
where the ball will always go in the end zone. Mm-hmm. So it was no kickoffs.
And now you kind of get penalized for it going in the end zone.
Yes.
They want that landing zone.
Exactly. So they actually made that rule up, he said, because of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, so now this ain't going to be just a regular bathroom break now.
Yeah.
Now you actually going to see some kickoff returns.
Not. I really do think it's going to be an exciting play. Frank Ross, Texans special teams coordinator, also was asked about kind of where it goes from here.
Yeah, I think it's like the first time we did it in practice, it felt quiet early. There, you definitely don't have those run-up hits. Those, we have done a good job of eliminating the collisions from the coverage to the blocking players. But at the point of attack, there's still a relative amount of violence. We saw that in our game. And people will learn how to adjust. And just to, you know, to be clear, though, you know, we do have some flexibility to move players with our off-the-line players and having a couple players in the back end, two returners. But, you know, it's relatively generic relative to, hey, let's just make sure aligned, assigned, and make sure we can then play singular blocks pretty clean for that first time going out there. But, yeah, at the point of attack, football's still football. These guys are hungry, and they want to go cover, and they want to go finish their blocks. So, you know, Sims, you know, he's going to hit that return, et cetera. And we saw that from both us and Chicago.
Yeah, I'm still excited about it. It was a nothing play on Thursday night, but I'm still excited about it.
Me too. The other thing, I was kind of, I thought it was going to be a little more safer. I thought it was going to be kind of a little, you know, way too safe, where it's just like, oh, they doing this.
Like touch football.
Yeah, but nah, you can still get your block knocked off.
You can get lit up.
I seen that at the Hall of Fame game where I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, nah. Like, even though they're not running full speed, nah, you can still get hit.
Yeah.
So, nah, it's going to be a good thing.
The NFL just hates the word concussion.
Yeah.
Concussion protocol, they hate that. That's where they get criticized the most. That's where they probably should be criticized the most. So I think it'll limit concussions because it's not full force 30, 40, 50-yard sprint and a collision. It's just more in kind of close quarters.
Yeah.
Hitting. It's safer in terms of concussion, but it's still football, man.
It is.
It gets exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah. All right, so C.J. Stroud, of course, the headliner for the Houston Texans. So Jackson Smith and Jigba, very familiar with C.J. Stroud's work. Yeah. Very familiar with C.J. Stroud's work, was on the Rich Eisen show. And this kind of goes back to why earlier I was wondering if I'm just getting too cocky or I've got PTSD from all the heartbreaks that we've had. Like, everybody in the country is just raving about the Houston Texans, raving about C.J. Stroud. Listen to what Jackson Smith and Jigba called him.
You know, I was just happy for him. I know he's an elite quarterback and you know what he can do, but when you go out there and show it, I mean, you know, we usually, you know, plan on Sundays and, you know, just hearing about it and hearing what he, you know, has done that week and for him to get to the playoffs, I mean, you know, he's destined for greatness. So, I'm just super happy for him. Hopefully, you know, we can match up, you know, one of these years, but, yeah, I mean, they got a squad over there, and, he's doing what he's supposed to do, you know, what he said he was going to do. So, you know, I'm a believer.
Destined for greatness. They got a squad over there. I'm a believer. It's everywhere. I mean, man, it's everywhere with the Houston Texans. So, I mean, I guess I'm not wrong. A lot of texters were on board with me after we talked about it this morning about, like, I'm just, like, worried that we've all been here before.
Yeah, like I said earlier, it's PTSD. We all had a moment where we thought our team, any team, mm-hmm. was going to be good and go all the way possibly, and it just go total opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So, or they get kind of far and they wet the bed.
Yeah,
and something bad happened.
Choke.
Yeah, accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, something
choke
like that.
Yeah, we all had those moments. So I think it's a good feeling where you see other players, mm-hmm. other fans brag about
experts,
your team.
Coaches,
yeah,
general managers.
They break your team down and say, hey, this is a team to look out for.
They got a squad over there.
That's a good thing,
no,
man.
No, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Because like you said earlier, we might be looking through those H-Town blue glasses.
Yeah.
But the other media members,
they're not.
Fans, they're not.
Yeah.
And when somebody say, hey, y'all got a good team, y'all got something good going on, y'all going to be scary. That's a good thing, man. So
and everyone you were talking to at Canton was saying it.
Everybody. And one of the other good things I like, too, a lot of people, other fans were like, man, Andre deserved this. That was the one thing. Andre, that's good. Y'all got Andre in there. And the other thing is, man, CJ Stroud's a bad dude, man. I'm rooting for y'all, man. When y'all not playing our team,
mm-hmm.
we rooting for the Texans, man. Y'all look good.
All right, so let me ask you about this, which Sean asked us this morning as well. Kind of ties in with this. Would you rather have Andre Johnson's career, 14 years, gold jacket, Hall of Fame, and all that goes with that, or Julian Edelman's career? Three Super Bowls, not in Andre's class as an individual receiver, but a Super Bowl MVP and three Super Bowl titles. I said, as much as it might hurt, Edelman, three titles and a Super Bowl MVP. You talk about all the money that Andre can make now that he's a Hall of Famer for the rest of his life. I think Julian Edelman can do pretty well for himself.
Yeah. No, that's true. And he was with one of the greatest teams of all time. So, you know, that helps a lot too. But I got to go with Andre Johnson, man. I think I know why. Mm-hmm. Because I think it was back in 2020, maybe 2021, we had Arian Foster on our podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a popular topic whenever you say, would you rather have a Hall of Fame career or a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
And a lot of current players always say, you know, I want that Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Because that's the right thing to say. It sounds a little selfish.
No, but I really do feel like three Super Bowls.
Yeah, that's
not one.
That's
three.
Good, but he kind of sold me on the Hall of Fame career because he pretty much said, "Hey, you know, the Super Bowls are cool, and of course everybody want one, but just being in that club of that Hall of Fame club,
yeah,
like it's hard to get in there, man. It's a lot of good players that can't get in the Hall of Fame." And so I think if you could get in the Hall of Fame like that, that's an exclusive club, man. And it's a lot of people a lot of players that probably got three rings too, that was on that New England team too. But
Julian Edelman had a star. I mean, he was a star. He wasn't Andre, but he was a star. He got three rings and an MVP.
Give me Andre Johnson's career.
Seriously?
Yeah, man. I want to be in that exclusive club, man. I want to be honored the way Andre Johnson was honored. Have that gold jacket. Just being remembered as one of the best to ever do it. Like, Super Bowl rings, yeah, they're fun, and yeah, that's what every player wants, but just imagine being in that exclusive club.
No, I think it's a great argument.
Everybody else.
But there's only been 50-plus Super Bowl MVPs.
That's true.
I mean, only 50.
That's true.
And a lot of guys win multiple Super Bowl, have won multiple Super Bowl MVPs. You got three rings, and you're a Super Bowl MVP. You are set for life. So forget the financial benefit of the gold jacket, because it does have one. You can make a lot of money for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But Julian Edelman's going to make a lot of money for the rest of his life.
I think so, too. And he was a really good receiver. He went to Kent State. So he was
that's your squad.
Yeah, kind of.
On college football.
Yeah. Former quarterback, you know?
Yeah, But and he's really good. But I just think, man, I don't know. I think a lot of people, like, I know Andre, if you ask Andre, would you rather, I'm sure he wanted a Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, I don't know. To me, I just felt like he gave it all he can. He one of the best receivers, and I just think I don't know if he would give up being in the Hall of Fame. I don't know.
I don't know.
But if it was me personally, I just felt like just having that gold jacket, just walking around, and people look at you like that's a Hall of Famer right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would. Take that.
Like, I, the best example for your side, and again, there's no wrong side.
Yeah.
Is like Kenny Houston, a friend of the show, has been around Houston forever, but most people don't really remember his career.
Yeah.
When he shows up at all these events and he's wearing his gold jacket, people who have no idea, 10-year-olds, go, oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, he's a Hall of Famer?
Yeah.
It's just
him being just recognized throughout the whole world, throughout the whole NFL.
Yeah.
And Julia, like, he's a legend. But I felt like he will be remembered in New England. Like, New England gonna always talk about Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
He had never had to buy a drink there.
Yeah.
But just Andre Johnson, that's what made the Hall of Fame weekend so great.
Yeah.
Just seeing Chris Berman up there just bragging about Andre Johnson, and then seeing Gary Kubiak up there, just seeing everybody, like, man,
yeah,
I ain't gonna lie, Andre was a bad dude.
Yeah,
like I like that type of love, man.
Yeah, a lot of it's split down the middle on YouTube and on the text board on this one, but you can't go wrong either way, man. But three did it for me. If he was just like a tight end. you know, that started or whatever. I'm not talking about Gronk, you know, but like got one ring. Yeah. I'd be like, no, give me Andre.
Yeah.
But if you have a star receiver, three rings, and an MVP, that kind of would do it for me.
Yeah.
Hey, Brandon Ayuk looks like he's getting traded, man. I guess. I mean, it's been rumored like crazy. I haven't seen anything officially yet. But the destinations are Cleveland and New England. And I'm like, whatever. Yeah.
It's funny because it was Pittsburgh at one point.
And apparently Pittsburgh's still trying.
Yeah. So it's saying like after the news with Pittsburgh got out, then eventually they, I guess, talked about Cleveland and New England pretty much having the framework and ready to go.
Yeah.
So, I'm not really too.
I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, I'm not worried either.
I know that's what feeds into my whole are we getting too cocky thing. But.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a fact, man.
I think the other part of the story is the Niners are like all of a sudden the Niners might be end up scrambling here in the next year or so.
Yeah, I still think they might be all right though, man.
No, they're going to be good this year.
Yeah. And if they trade them to the Browns, I'm guessing they're going to get Amari Cooper back.
Well, that's been mentioned. I don't know.
Yeah, if they do, I think that's an upgrade.
Yes.
I think having Amari Cooper there, I think that's better than having.
Why would the Browns do that?
I think money-wise, because I think Amari looking for a contract, and I don't think they're going to give him another contract. I think he's about 30, 31 years old.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they just don't want to go in that direction or what, but you had to get Ayuk a contract.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know, man. I'm glad to be out that business.
Yeah, look, also around the NFL, Jordan Addison. It ain't great. It ain't great with Jordan Addison. And there is a Texan sort of localized angle here. The Texans faced the Minnesota Vikings the third week of the season at Minnesota. Jordan Addison, according to multiple reports now, has been charged with two misdemeanors. It stems from an alleged DUI arrest that was bad. And if he's convicted, he faces 6 months of jail time, and at minimum, he's going to get a suspension from the NFL. So
he should if he's facing the 6 months in jail.
Yeah, I guess automatically you're going to be suspended. I can't make today's game. I can't make it. I got some. What do you got?
Get a 6 month suspension. You know,
I got a little something going on, going on right now. But yeah, and so the Texans face him third week of the season. I would seriously doubt that Jordan Addison is going to be a part of that.
Yeah, and that's a good thing for the Texans. That means Stingley can only focus on Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, yeah, Justin Jefferson.
That make it a little better and probably be catching passes from Sam Darnold.
Dude, it's going to be Derek Stingley against Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, and probably Sam Darnold starting.
Woo!
Because I don't think J.J. McCarthy looking too good, man. They said
I heard that.
Yeah, they said him and I think it's Nick Mullins.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's the backup. And they said, I guess they battling it out for number two.
Yeah.
So that's not looking good. And they traded all that stuff. They go out there, grab him.
Yeah. And it's funny you say that because something else sort of going around the NFL is a lot of people are saying that Jimmy Garoppolo may not even make the team. That's how the rumblings are around Rams camp right now. Apparently he's struggling, and one source told the 49ers beat writer that's putting it mildly. So that would be interesting if Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't even make the squad over there behind Matthew Stafford. So
man,
yeah,
dodged the bullet, man. I remember
he was gonna come here.
I remember people talking about just bring him in. And it's been a good run for old Jimmy. He lasted longer than I thought.
He did more than I thought he would.
Yeah,
you gotta hang him up, man.
Yeah, he's got if you get cut.
Yeah, I think the one thing
go get on GQ or something.
Yeah, I think the one thing that bothered me about him is just seeing him smiling on the sideline when San Francisco lost all of their quarterbacks pretty much. Yep. And Brock Purdy out there couldn't even throw the ball. And he was just sitting there cheesing and laughing. And I ain't the type of person that get on people from laughing or smiling while they're losing.
Yeah.
But he just rubbed me the wrong way, man.
Yeah,
It did. And I hope he – wish him the best, but – yeah, I think it's about over with for the whole Jimmy G thing.
Oh, Jimmy G. All right, that's around the NFL. And coming up, The internet is going nuts. Got to revisit this thing. The whole, he's an American, he's a Swede. Come on, man. Get better than that. And Jim Harbaugh will look you right in the face, square in the eyes, and flat out lie.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I got the internet going nuts.
All right, sometimes the internet going nuts just falls in your lap, so to speak. So this just got released, and this is wild. So apparently, I don't remember this, maybe you do. Apparently there were some Utah Mormon swinger wives.
Whoa.
That were making the news in 2022. Apparently, it was a group of dancing Mormon moms and others would have, quote, soft swinging parties on the weekends with the groups of women and their husbands. Well, guess what's happening now? Hulu has... You're going to make a show out of it.
Oh, man.
Hulu is making a show.
That's the type of show I want to see.
The Utah Mormon Swingers.
Is it like a reality show?
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
I'm not even a reality show guy.
So let me read this.
I would check that out.
This Taylor Paul admitted in 2022 that the group of dancing Mormon moms would have these soft swinging parties on the weekends where the group of women and their husbands would, quote, party. Now, she said, she said they would stop just short of, quote, going all the way.
Get out of here.
All right, so what is that, first of all? What is stopping just short of going all the way with each other until she left the party room with someone else's husband and broke the rules Eventually, it led to a divorce between her. Like, dude, swinging? Swinging.
Yeah.
It never ends well.
Yeah, it never do.
It never ends well. And my other thought on this is they're just calling themselves Mormons. This isn't about the Mormon church.
Yeah.
This is...
Yeah, let me be a Mormon then.
Yeah, that's...
You just putting a cap on.
That's exactly... Cap or no cap. Oh, that might make a reappearance on Thursday. Good gravy. Anything gets on TV now, but I'm with you. I might have to watch that. All right, so I don't know why this even became something of a little controversy, but your girl. Rebecca Andre.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's Andrade. I know you wouldn't mind bowing down to her, but that's a different story. So I guess, you know, Simone Biles and Suni Lee on the metal platform did the whole "we're not worthy" bow down to her. And I thought that is really cool for a very well-liked Brazilian gymnast that is, you know, obviously very popular, very well-liked. Now, they're going to explain it. You're going to hear this. But there are some people like say, don't bow down. Get the heck out of here.
She's so amazing. She's queen. And first, it was an all-black podium, so that was super exciting for us. But then Jordan was like, should we bow to her? And I was like, absolutely. So we're like, are we going to do it now? And then that's why we did it. But she's such an excitement to watch. And then all the fans in the crowd always cheering for her. So it was just the right thing to do. She's queen.
Yeah,
she's
to go off of what she was saying, you know, she's an icon, a legend herself. So I feel like being recognized is what everybody should do when it comes to somebody who's put in the work, put in the dedication. So yeah, in that moment, I was like, you know what? First off, again, yes, it was an all-black podium. Second off, why don't we just give her flowers? She's given, you know, not only has she given Simone her flowers, but a lot of us in the United States are flowers as well. So giving it back is what makes it so beautiful. So I felt like it was needed.
Come on. That's cool.
Yeah, nah, it's cool. And this is how you know Simone really respects her, because I think it was a couple days ago where she was close. She was like giving Simone a run for her money. I think Simone ended up winning.
Yeah.
But she actually came over there to give her a hug after one of her things.
And they were still in team competition. Yeah. They were still, you know.
And I haven't seen Simone do that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her do. Usually the game ain't even close.
Mm-hmm.
And for the simple fact that Simone came there and she was actually talking to her a lot. I'm like, damn, I never really see this. Usually everybody kind of stay a little separate and they might shake their hand or something
intense.
Like that. Yeah. So it was still going on.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, nah, when I first seen her, I was in the restaurant.
Yeah.
And I seen her on the TV. I'm like, who is that?
Yeah.
Like, she look all right. And she was actually doing her thing, too.
She was great.
So I'm like, let me, she earned the follow from me.
Yeah, she did.
I gave her a follow.
Yeah, I wonder why. Anyway. Yeah.
Brazilians, man.
Yeah. I got the internet going nuts. Wait a minute, you got me thinking about Brazilians. Anyway, so Jim Harbaugh denied everything, had nothing to do with, I don't know, a guy taking a disguise, going to the opposing sideline, trying to steal signs and relaying them to the defense and the team. And, I don't know, the defensive coordinator deleting 52 messages and, I don't know, ultimately becoming Harbaugh's hand-picked choice to succeed him as head coach. And, one more thing. Harbaugh left town after winning a national championship and, speeding out of town, in essence, not trying to back it up to go to the NFL. But he said he had nothing to do with it, doesn't know anything to do with it, and he can put his chest out. All right.
Get out of here, man.
Get the hell out
of
here.
So you ain't even think about sticking around to try to do a repeat?
Yeah.
And you've been, look, Michigan been balling since you got there.
Yeah.
And Ohio State is in shambles every time y'all play them.
Mm-hmm.
And you just gonna take off for the Chargers job?
Yeah.
And like I said, it's LA, and I'm sure it's cool there, but
come on.
Oh, you just
he
won
is
a
Michigan
national championship.
Through and through.
You just won a national championship.
Well,
and you dipped out that quick.
He said you're wrong, Figgy. He said you're wrong.
Oh my god.
But you and Paul Feinbaum have something in common.
I mean, it's an Oscar-winning performance, Crini. I mean, I had a lot of different emotions. I mean, I wanted to throw all kinds of adjectives up on the board. I wanted to label him as a pathological liar, as someone who is delusional. But I can't do it anymore because, I think he, in many ways, is the Jack Nicholson of coaching. He's a man for all seasons. He has so many different lanes. And you really just can't get mad at the guy. I mean, you can't say he ran a program into the ground because they won the national championship. Yeah, he left a stench behind, but as we have said, it will get cleaned up with very little penalty. He's making a fortune with the Chargers. And I'm going to bow at the feet of Jim Harbaugh for pulling off this scam and then acting like he didn't do anything wrong.
That was extremely well put in every possible way.
A lot of bowing down going on today.
Yeah.
Dude.
It's ridiculous,
man. It's
ridiculous. Yeah.
And he gets away with it.
Yeah.
Because he's got that goofy kind of, hey, you know, hardcore, but also endearing personality. And
yeah.
It's
And one thing I realized, too, it's a lot of Michigan fans just randomly all over the place, too.
Oh, yeah.
So they going to give him a pass. Like, seeing Adam Schefter trying to defend that whole cheating thing and all that stuff, it was embarrassing.
It
man.
Was embarrassing. Football Stadium gets a naming rights, it's usually not making the internet go nuts, right?
Yeah.
Well, this one is. I got to tell you, I don't understand it. And I'm all about branding. You got your brand manager and all that stuff.
Yeah, shout out to Nicole.
But Florida International University has sold its football naming rights. Not a lot of news there. They sold them for $1.2 million per year to Pitbull. Pitbull. That guy. The artist. I'm sure they did the math, but I don't know how spending $1.2 million a year for Pitbull Stadium is going to be that profitable.
For Pitbull?
For Pitbull.
I was thinking about this because at first I'm like, man, he got that much money to spend. And I know he probably making some money.
Mm-hmm.
But I was sitting there thinking like, dang, like, I just didn't understand how that
understand
would make
how
sense for him.
Yeah.
But I thought about it more.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder how much he pay for branding stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that $5 million or whatever, maybe he spent that already just on multiple things. So maybe he just used that money and just put his name on the
maybe.
Stadium, because that's kind of like if a company, let's say Pepsi or something like that.
Yeah.
But
these are multi-billion dollar corporations.
Yeah.
I know he's loaded.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
And it's worth spending $1.2 million a year just to say Pitbull Stadium and then having enough downloads or sales to make it worth $1.2 million a year.
I'm curious to see what he want to do with that. Like,
yeah.
Why is he doing this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just to hear his name in the broadcast?
Maybe he just likes it.
Yeah.
Because other thing, there are some smart artists out there
that
are more popular and bigger and more money than Pitbull. Why hadn't they done this? Did they just not think about it?
Maybe
the Taylor Swift Stadium?
Yeah, maybe he's...
Madonna Stadium?
Maybe he might be on to something. Maybe
J-Lo Stadium?
Cardi B Stadium.
Cardi B Stadium?
We're live at the Cardi B Stadium right now in New York City.
Maybe he'll have performances there, just exclusively for him.
I could see that.
I will be performing there if I spend that money.
I could see that.
I will make sure I have a seat, a suite, and everything.
Oh, he's going every game.
Yeah.
he's got a suite for every game.
Yeah.
Well, it's a big enough stadium. Like, one performance could pay for the year.
Yeah.
If he has one concert. So there is that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious to hear the broadcaster. We're live from the Pitbull Stadium in Florida.
Yeah. No, it's great branding. I don't doubt that. It's awesome.
Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great.
All right. One more here, because this one just made me roll my eyes. And I think a lot of people are in the boat with me. So we're not going to play all the audio, but basically... Mondo Duplantis grew up, born and raised in Louisiana, but his mother is Swedish. He has gone to Sweden quite a bit. His girlfriend is Swedish. His mother competed for the Swedish Olympic team. He has dual citizenship. born and raised in Louisiana, but he competed for Sweden, set the Olympic record, won the gold medal, and set the world record. And then these dudes turn ugly American.
Here we go. He's Sweden's Armand Duplantis. And when I say Sweden's, I mean he's from Louisiana.
Yeah, I think his mom competed for Sweden, so he decided to compete for Sweden also. But I mean, I'm counting that in our medal count. The man grew up in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Another one for the USA. USA! USA! There yeah. we go.
He won the gold. His nickname is Mondo. His mother is Swedish, so he competes. And on her behalf, it's the second gold medal that he has won. So... again, it just seems like an odd, I mean, good for him, good for their family. If that's what he wants to do, then he's repping Sweden. I'm all good with that. But I mean, it does seem like an interesting thing that he was born and raised in Louisiana. And it's not like he wouldn't have made the American team.
I think he would have.
Right? Like, I understand some of the basketball players playing for their native, you know, countries or some sort of descendancy because they wouldn't make the American team.
They show
the best in the world.
They show the record books and he has the 9 highest jumps in the history of the sport. I think he'd have made the team. I think he would have been Olympic hero, but I guess he's Swedish now.
Fair enough. I mean, look, congratulations to Sweden. I don't really have anything else to say about it, except for welcome back to Get Up. We have a new hour coming.
Brother.
That just sounds so salty, man.
It's ugly American.
Sound like a... Yeah, they just...
How do you feel about Joel Embiid, man?
Yeah.
That dude's French. He's French.
And no, my thing is, how can you say, oh, I understand the basketball team?
No, you don't.
It's the same thing.
You don't.
It's
you don't understand
thing.
It. You really don't. I wanted it. I would love for that kid to have worn the USA color. First of all, he's Swedish. You know, he's dual citizenship, like I said. And his mother competed for the team. Hell yeah, I would have wanted to do that.
Yeah, and you got to read the backstory. Mm-hmm. It's not like he just picked a random country.
No.
He said, you know what? I'm representing... Sweden, just because.
Just I feel like it.
Yeah, nah, man. Like it's a story. His mom actually
competed.
She was in there.
Yeah.
With Sweden.
Yeah.
So he wanted to do that. And nah,
Chris, how do you feel about this?
Man, it's ridiculous. I mean, me, someone that's like, my mom's Mexican, my dad's Puerto Rican. I probably would have done either or Mexican or Puerto Rican team, you know. Mm-hmm. But so it's just like, this is just ridiculous. They're just hating, man.
Yeah, they're just hating.
Yeah, they just sound bitter.
They're ugly Americans. All right, so one more segment here, then we're going to get to the drive. But this is an important one. I've asked the question a couple of times today. What if the Texans defense is just really, really good? I've asked that question. I want to get the answer. I want to get it from you, from Chris, maybe from the guys on the drive as well. What's it going to take? Will they be really, really good on the defensive side? Next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studio, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
I forgot about this. I had to look it up during the break because we're going to talk about the Texans defense and try to answer a question definitively from what we know so far about just how good they're going to be. And we'll get you details on that in just a second. But the Texans defense, they ranked 14th in the NFL, so top 15 in yards per game last year. Points per game, they ranked 11th. So they don't got far to go. Like you said, top 10 earlier. Like, okay. Yeah they don't have far to go to become a top 10 defense. But I've been asking this question ever since we've been getting the reports of today's practice. By the way, just a little bit of a follow-up. For those who haven't been listening the entire show, we have Titus Howard was carted off the field today. We don't know the extent of the injury. It could have been precautionary, so we're not trying to get anybody all riled up. But the reality is he got hurt, and the reality is he got carted off. So we're going to have updates on that, I'm sure. The coaches didn't really talk about it yesterday, but it was the coordinator day. So 13 minutes ago, Titus Howard tweeted.
Of course.
As only Titus Howard could tweet.
Of course.
Like, there were reports of guys on the sideline that he took a cart off the field. Titus Howard tweeted, "Dang, I thought I walked off the field." Well, he walked off to the tent and then was carted from the tent there. So, maybe that means it's not that big of a deal, and hopefully that's
all right, buddy. You better be out there week one.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Mr. Walk off the field.
What do they say about those Twitter fingers? What do they say about that?
You better be out there week one.
Like, multiple reports. taken off by a golf cart, taken off by a cart, taken off by a cart. Nick Broeker in, Titus Howard off by a cart. And each way to dang, I thought I walked off the field. I don't
yeah. know. Unless you got a concussion or something, man.
He's a different kind of guy. All right, so back to the defense. What a day they had. That's the other the news that we're getting from Ohio. Derek Stingley, two interceptions off C.J. Stroud. Stroud's first two interceptions, one of them was a pick six. Kalen Bullock, interception off Davis Mills. Apparently wasn't a bad throw, just a great play. And the defense just dominating to the point that Bobby Slowick, we're not going to hear from him right now. I'm sure you'll hear some of that during the drive, but was really kind of not like upset, but for him, you could tell it was kind of bothered that the defense sort of ruled the day. The defense has ruled a lot of days. You are going to hear from Matt Burke right here because he was asked about the rumors with the safety position and Justin Simmons. And then we're going to tell you why maybe it's not such a bad idea.
Privy to a lot of rumors that get out there, but I'm just curious, what do you think about?
I don't listen to any rumors.
What do you think about the safety room? Are you pleased with where you all are at right now?
It's been great. I actually think Jimmy's had like a really good time up here, just starting to sort of show up and sort of impact plays more. Peachy's been really good. Like, it's just same thing. I mean, I feel like I broke a record sometimes, like the depth that we've had. You know, Kalen's been had a pretty good game on Thursday night and has really shown up, like ranging the ball and playing more physical. And then the kind of two vet guys we have in the room with E. Murray and MJ, like, man, we've been mixing those packages a lot again, trying to get guys in different spots and trying to get guys against different competition and whatnot. So I don't know what rumors you're talking about, but like I feel really good about our depth, and all those guys have been kind of growing in what we're asking them to do. And like I said, I feel like. Even a guy like Jimmy, like, is starting to like sort of show up. You know, I feel like he's kind of a forgotten man sometimes. So Jimmy's been making some plays the last few practices and starting to kind of he's on the come a little bit. So feel good about where that whole group's working.
Oh, he definitely knows what rumors he's talking about. The rumors are Justin Simmons, Texans. Ben Albright said expects him to be moved to the AFC South. That kind of narrows it down to the Colts and the Texans. So. All right, so let's just take him for his word there that these dudes are playing really well. Don't know what rumor you're talking about. If you do get a Justin Simmons, given what you know about this defense, then we're talking a defense that could be who knows how high.
Top five.
Yeah, who knows how high.
Top five, man. You got probably the best dual edge rushers in the league to me. Like, you could argue and say, hey, that's top five right there. You address some of the defensive tackles position, and they actually look all right. I think the only questions we might have is maybe linebacker.
Yeah.
But everything else, Stingley.
Yeah.
Look like all pro Stingley.
He right does.
Now. And I know it's camp, and you know you can't really judge off of that, but
yeah.
Nah, he looked like he gonna have an all pro type of year.
Well, let's hear what Matt Burke had to say about Derek Stingley.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sting. I never like to say the best, but is one of the best. Ball corners in the league. Like, he's got elite ball skills. I mean, obviously he's big and powerful. Like, he's always, you know, tight in coverage, but can go snatch it. I think that's probably one of his superpowers. So it doesn't surprise me when he goes and makes those type of plays.
All right, so Stingley has superpowers, and he wanted to say it. He wanted to say the best ball corner in the league. He said one of. I'm getting more and more where I feel like this could get real special.
I think so.
On the defensive side.
I think so. And we talked about how everybody is talking about the Houston Texans and all that. I think everybody going to be talking about Stingley.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be throwing them in that conversation. I think, I know Sauce was getting a lot of the love the last couple of years, but I think people are going to be like, hey, I think Stingley is top two.
Yeah.
And not two, or maybe top three or something like that. So I think he gonna be in a conversation like, man, he's the best corner. This is LSU Derek Stingley right here.
Well, if he is, and you got, as you mentioned, the two great edge rushers, one of them proven great, the other one we think is gonna be great. You got Al-Shaair in the middle. You got Kamari Lassiter, by the way, didn't participate in today's practice. We'll see what that's all about, but you know, he's shining as an opposite corner. And then you just got the safeties that Matt Burke described a second ago. Just good safeties. I don't care that Jimmy Ward's 33 now and all that, but they're good. Like, it's in play. Like, it becomes, it gets into play, like, the question anyway. Like, if they're not just a top 15 defense, but they're exceptional, well, then all these high hopes that we talk about, all these things that we're hearing here and there, like, the Texans defense might be able to just take them over the top.
I think so, man. And I think a big part of that is DeMeco Ryans, too. Like, I feel confident in, you know, possibly bringing in Justin Simmons and all the pieces they have right now with DeMeco Ryans. Mm-hmm. If it was somebody else, I would be like, I would be okay, but I wouldn't be that confident. But I'm super confident in this one.
So will it? You know, let's call our shot. Because I'm getting damn close.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. I don't care if I got my glasses on, my H-Town blue glasses on. I don't care. I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is. I think it was a big pickup getting Danielle Hunter. I think it's a big pickup with Aziz and Stingley. I think Stingley, this is year three for him. I think that's going to be a big year three for Darius Stingley.
Yeah, and if all three of those, just those three things happen, then they're going to be in the conversation. Keep in mind, you know, the old cliche of complimentary football. If this offense just puts up some decent number of points, the defense is going to be on the field less. You know, obviously their points per game is going to be less, and it's going to be special. You know, today got me excited. I've been excited about the defense, you know, all year long, at least in terms of, like, man, they're ruling the day. Like I said, I always go back. They've predominantly controlled the offense in training camp. They didn't look good in the Hall of Fame game. It was mostly depth problems. You know, they had some issues there. But their top-line defense, you know, based on today, three interceptions, two from C.J. Stroud, a pick six, you know, and certainly some of the other things that we're seeing, like, Clint, I don't know about you. Clint and Ron joining us here. They're about to start the drive. Like, let me ask you the question. What if it's not just a good defense? What if it's really, really good?
Hey, that's a game changer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. That's convincing. I know it's popular right now to talk about the Texans in a Super Bowl run. But if we really get down to real conversations and tough conversations, that may be a little bit of a stretch. The team's good.
Yeah.
But that may... Now, what you're talking about, if all of a sudden this defense is lights out and C.J. Stroud playing a more difficult schedule doesn't have to constantly go out there and win shootouts versus Lamar and Pat and all these other guys that are on this schedule this year, now you're talking something that I believe you can really lean into week in, week out of giving you a shot of winning a ball game. Now you can talk about 12 wins instead of, you know, at 9-10 range and hoping you win the division. The defense, I, to your point, I think we're pretty convinced that the offense is going to be able to be pretty damn good. If the defense is lights out, not just good, but if they're lights out,
I think that is
a game changer from jump for the Texans.
Ron, I mean, Matt, I'm sure you guys are going to play this today. Like, he was about to say that he thought Derek Stingley was the best ball corner in the NFL. And he said, I don't like to say that. I'll say one of. I mean, dude. Like, if that happens.
Listen, Derek Stingley, from the sounds of it, had a hell of a day today, and he has had some days like that. To me, my thought is, for the Texans, I hope that's what it is, and I hope it's not that we've maybe overvalued the offense.
There's that.
Yeah. I hope that's what it is. You see the parts of the offense, you understand there's no Tunzel in there and some of the no mixing, there's some thoughts there, but the also the hope is, because to me coming into it, I thought they have the potentials of a top five offense, and I thought they'd have a defense that feels like outside the top 10, and we'll see, you know, what happens.
But it
seems to be playing the opposite right now, so hopefully it is that this defense is a lot better than I think most people have anticipated.
You know, and two, I think one thing we've got to take into consideration here is I think the shell of this defense at the first layer of the depth chart versus the pass is got a chance to be really, really good.
Yeah.
When you look across the board, Christian Harris, Aziz Al-Shaair, and you whatever they do with five with Petrie, You got two quality safeties in the back end with a young one coming. You got corners galore, really, if you look at it. I mean, we can talk about Lassiter all you want, but really there's four or five cover guys that are good. Your nickel defenders, you got a veteran that does nothing but make plays, and you got a young dude that's got great instincts in Petrie. So the shell of that defense, and you got a pass rush from hell, one of the best in the league. Versus the pass is – this doesn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't surprise me that this is going on right now with this defense. When it comes down to it, you know as well as anybody, J-Lo, when you had that run game and you start getting hit in the mouth, that's our concern coming into this season with the Texans, that interior defensive line and some of these guys' ability to play the
Got
play
a
the
suspension
run.
Coming, too.
Hey, that's it. Got a suspension coming. Now all is hunky-dory right now. When you start getting hit in the mouth, what's it look like? We'll see.
It's exciting. I felt really good about today, and I'm with you, Ron. I mean, maybe we'll find out on the offense.
We'll find out. Like, we think the offense is going to be really good. Like, to me, I felt like that's the strength of the team coming into it.
My thing is, like, just him stopping short said a lot.
Hell yeah.
Defensive coordinators don't say best ball defender in the NFL, and he didn't, but he was about to. Like, that said a lot right there.
Come on, man.
Yeah, Stingley. There's a lot with it. We got some stuff to talk about with Stingley and his impact and what that could mean for the defense. So, a lot there. Yeah. A lot there.
All right.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.